Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Network. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Welcome to Reveal Your Excellence with the on-camera coach, Renee Ellison. I am Renee Ellison, and I'm so excited and delighted to be here with you again this morning, this beautiful spring day, this Saturday morning, and even more excited because today's guest is probably someone that many Life Coach Radio Network listeners remember because it wasn't so long ago that she was a host on Life Coach Radio Networks. Her name is Tamara Cosley Robinson. And Tamara is going to be here today to talk to us about confidence. She is probably one of the most confident women I've ever known. And ironically, I feel like I've known her for so long, but we haven't ever even had an opportunity to meet. We found out that we're in the same sorority. We found out that we know a lot of the same people, and we just have bonded and connected. And today she's going to be talking to us about confidence and the secrets to actually becoming a more confident person. But before we bring Tamara on, I just want to let you know about some shows that are coming up on Life Coach Radio Networks. Just want to get some housekeeping out of the way, and then we're going to get into the interviews. So on April 6th, which is a Wednesday, In Depth with Jan Jaffe. Sounds like Jan Jaffe has changed the name of her show. She's going to be interviewing pop singer, songwriter Jan Close. And then on April 13th, Jan Jaffe also goes in depth with Ava Diamond. That's also a Wednesday. And then on April 20th at 12 p.m., all these shows are broadcast at 12 p.m., by the way. A physical therapist perspective, why movement leads to a long and healthy life. So a lot of really wonderful shows here on Life Coach Radio Networks. Make sure that you tune in. And just a reminder, everyone, today is my final show with the network. I am so, it's so bittersweet to be moving on. And I just want to thank you, all of you who have supported the show thus far. But, you know, we're going to go out with a bang with a really dynamic guest today. And Tamara Cosley Robinson, welcome to Reveal Your Excellence. How are you?
I'm doing well, Renee. I'm doing really, really well. Thank you for inviting me to your show and, you know, just real excited about today's conversation.
Yeah, I'm excited about it too, and especially because you're on the other side now, right? You know, you've had all these opportunities to host your own show, and now you are on the other side of it, which is really great because you get to talk about your business and you get to promote your business a little bit and talk about what makes you special rather than just featuring other guests, right? So, so welcome to Reveal Your Excellence.
Oh, thank you so much. And I love the title because I feel like everybody has excellence to reveal, even though sometimes we may not think that that's even my remotely true. that's one of the things that I think, that's one of the things I feel like is a gift of mine. I find excellence in everything and everyone. And
wow.
It just takes, you know, just getting to know people to understand what really is that thing about them that makes them special. And to hope to help them to, you know, do even a little bit more of that. Or even just to realize it, because sometimes when you just realize it, that's enough to start to make you look at things a little bit differently. So,
thank you for having me again. Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about Tamara Cosley Robinson and what makes you special?
Ah, what makes me special? My smile.
Of course.
Well, I think for me, you know, I have very humble beginnings, and I think the thing that makes me special is that I do make everyone very, very comfortable. And whatever it is that I do and whatever it is that's going on, there's a quiet calm about me that it's just a part of me. And maybe it's because I want to be comfortable that I help people to be comfortable. But I think the other thing that's special about me is that I can find a way to do whatever needs to be done. And other people, when they see that, it helps to motivate them to do the same thing. You know, when I was growing up, I was the quiet, shy girl in the corner. I really didn't talk to a whole lot of people, and it's not because I didn't want to. I didn't know how. And maybe I think a lot of times we live in the reverse, you know. And I say that because I was always I wanted to be that popular person, but I didn't know how. And understanding, just embracing what's special about me brought people to me. And the people that it brought to me has always been very instrumental in me going to that next level, right? So it's like Tamara 1.0, Tamara 2.0, and so on. So, you know, I think that's what makes me special.
Well, I can definitely see all the things that you're talking about just in the conversations that we've had. It's amazing how, you know, one conversation with Tamara 5 minutes in and you feel like you've known her your whole life. And that connection that you get immediately with you is so special, because you do, you know, we've had so many conversations, and we'll talk about this during the show today, about your change and your transition from corporate America to becoming a life coach to being your having your own business and how that really has challenged you, but how it's been such a natural progression. And that has inspired me and really motivated me in so many ways. So I just want to thank you for that. You know, those conversations have been very special. You're welcome. You're welcome. So tell me a little bit about your professional background, Tamara.
Yeah, so my professional background is in technology. I jumped in the early 90s when technology was new and not too many people knew about it. You know, we're not of the generation that grew up with computers. We are in the generation that grew up with typewriters. Everything was very
exactly
manual, right.
Oh yeah.
And so,
oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And the one thing that I realize now, 25 years later, out of this space of being in corporate, when I started out, I was always really good with people. Always really good with people. And so that connection and that relationship. And when I started doing that early on, I never really knew the power of it. And then you couple that with technology. And so most people, and it's technology support, right? So there's a lot of different things that people can do in technology. I am not a programmer. I do understand it, and I am a bit of a tech head when it comes to that. But I don't really like working alone. I don't like being me and the computer and that's it. That doesn't do anything for me. And so I started out, you know, learning about technology. I was selling information about technology. And then I started supporting technology. And so I was with I started out with Pricewaterhouse actually 5 years after I graduated from college. So I didn't start out right, you know, brand new. And I started out on the help desk, helping people and gauging their mood and what was going on and really getting to the crux of what their issues were quickly. And so the technology piece would kick in, right? I knew how to do what to tell them, click here, click there, close this, do that, restart the machine. But while the machine was doing its thing, I was connecting to the person.
Which is so important,
yeah.
Right, Tamara? Because in technology, mm-hmm. you have to be able to relate to the individual, not just fix their problem. You have to, because not everybody has the same level of understanding, and you know they need to sometimes be kind of walked through the process. So to have that ability to do both is really special. It really stands out.
Yeah.
That's great.
It really does. And I think the other thing, not even I think, I know for a fact, that the other thing that I was able to do was to quickly be able to connect with the person and, mm-hmm. and assure them that everything was going to be all right. And, oh, by the way, how are your kids doing? You know, are you celebrating this or are you celebrating that? And really bringing about that relationship. And so being able to do that and also being able to kind of gauge what's happening without seeing someone, that is a skill. I never thought of it as a skill. It is an absolute skill to have. And so I really pretty much built my corporate career very, very quickly on relating to people, giving them what it is that they needed, finding the people who can actually help me to make those things possible. So I went from help desk, you know, being on the help desk, answering calls. Then I started managing people who were answering calls. Then I started actually learning more about the hardware and how do you fix this and servers and how do you run that. Very curious all the time. And, you know, by that time we merged with Coopers and Librand, everything got big and then things get small. I'm moving up into the organization in different leadership roles. And my last role in technology was to be the director of IT support in our New York office, which was the largest office in the U.S., the most challenging office in the U.S. We had U.S. and global leaders in and out of that office. I had 65 people that I was responsible for and four major groups that I actually led different areas of technology, disaster recovery, telephones in all ways, shapes, and sizes, iPhones and iPads and all that stuff. Onboarding, you know, anytime someone new came, they needed a laptop, and coordinating those efforts across the U.S., as well as real estate. Anytime something moved, added, or changed in an office building that was big enough, I led that process across the country too with other people. So, you know, I start off with managing clients, right, by phone, and here I end, you know, 18 and a half years later, managing larger teams who then have other clients who then have to, you know, you want to make sure that they're happy and that you're giving them what they want and need. So
it sounds to me like in order to be able to grow the way you've grown mm-hmm. in your business and to be able to accomplish the things that you've accomplished, to be able to lead a team, did you say of 65 plus people?
Yes.
Wow, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. To be able to lead a team of that many people in as a director in a New York office that has the spotlight on it, really, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You have to have a lot of confidence. I mean, you have to be pretty self-assured, and there has to be a level of calm, but yet and still you have to be able to get things done and to be able to know how to leverage your relationships within the organization in order for other people to get things done. So
right.
You're really an ideal person to talk to about confidence because you've made that transition, like I said, from corporate America, and we'll talk about that transition a little bit down the line. But, you know, just so that we can have a kind of a framework, Tamara, what would be your estimation? Because today we're talking about confidence. What would be your definition of confidence?
Confidence, you know, it's an interesting thing because it's so very individual for everyone. But I feel like confidence is that thing, that allows you to do what you do so very well without hesitation, and knowing that you're doing the best that you can with everything that you've got. Confidence doesn't have anything to do with it being right. Confidence has, it's almost like a, you know, confidence is almost like swagger. You know, you just have the ability to know that I have everything that I need to get it done. And to do it, you know, there's a quote, and I'm not close to my computer, but a lot of times people feel that confidence, you can't be fearful and be confident at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I challenge that. I'm telling you right now that fear is almost essential.
I think it's a motivating factor, isn't it?
Absolutely.
In so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because a lot of times people say, oh, my God, Tavara, you did that all in New York. You must have been, like, feeling like I can do it. And I'm like, well, it's a good thing that you didn't see what was happening on the inside or even knowing how I was feeling on the inside, because I wasn't always very confident.
Right.
But those were things that you build upon. You know, even me taking that job in New York, I was like, oh, my God, I don't even, you know, I feared going, you know, in the tunnel every day on New Jersey Transit. I had this terrible fear of being underwater, and I did it for 9.5 years. Yeah.
Wow.
And you just breathe through those things. It's like, well, it's a mode of transportation. There's no other way to get into New York City. I don't care where you're going from. You got to go. You got to go under some water.
Right. Exactly.
Right?
So, exactly.
Yes. So being able to do things, yeah, that you fear. And a lot of times I was, and this is how actually how I got the name, my URL, and a lot of my business is built on doing it anyway, right? And daring
mm-hmm.
myself to do it. And, you know, talking in front of people, quiet as a church mouse, shy, I'm an introvert by rote. I know I don't sound like an introverted person, but it's work to be able to be more outspoken. And so you figure out what are the things that I need to do so that I can be more believable, that people will have faith that I know what I'm talking about, and you take those steps.
That's really amazing. That's an amazing definition. I love that you compared confidence to swagger, because in so many ways it's so true that there's an air, you know, there's that quote about courage, right? Courage is when you feel the fear, but you do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So in a lot of ways, it's kind of connected. Like you said, that whole idea of, you know, being able to walk into a room and nobody knows what's going on inside you, but you're able to get things done. You're able to show up in a certain way. You're able to make a presentation that a lot of people would look at and say, oh, you're so confident. Oh, you're so bold. Oh, you're such a diva. You know, that kind of
right.
stuff. Right. And inside you're thinking, if only you knew what was really going on inside of me, you would not be calling me a diva right now.
Yeah, exactly. And there's also this thing of, I'm going to get found out. Somebody
yes.
is going to pull my punk card. Right. Somebody is going to. And, you know, all of us have these little vulnerable pieces of ourselves. And all we need is someone to say something, do something, and it really can, you know, affect how you come across.
Right.
And most people don't know it. My mom, when we were growing up, I swear, I have so many books in me, and there's going to be a book that I'll write about how the different things that my mom used to say to us that have affected me and made me such an awesome human. And one of the things Mommy used to say is to fix your face. You know, she would say that
yes.
to us girls.
That's the old school thing. I love that
old
one.
Old school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fix your face. And basically, do not react to what is in front of you. Right, because, you know, with kids are very, they're just super honest and they're super aware. And when they see things, they just say, oh, this person is bad, or, oh, this person is ugly. You know, kids will just say it. And so when my mother sees things, you know, because all mothers have this mother vision, she would just see it and just pretty much tell us, okay, fix your face. And we would immediately start looking around to see what we're not supposed to react to. And so in those moments, you know, I've learned I've learned how to, you know, not necessarily react. That doesn't always serve you very well, especially when when you are leading people, because people need to see that you do have feelings and that, you know, you do, have a heart and, you know, that you're not a computer, you know, but for the most part, that has served me well. Just really just, just fix your face. It's okay.
And I wonder, you know, you talked a little bit about your mom and, you know, just the I'm sure the love and the confidence that she poured into you. So I can just imagine that part of what you have become is a result of that. But I'm just wondering, you know, just on a deeper level, beyond the surface, beyond the work, beyond the accomplishments, where does your confidence come from?
You know, my confidence, it really comes from a very authentic place, right? Mm. It just comes from the center of my being. I want to be the best that I can be. And in order for me to be the best that I can be means that I'm going to be uncomfortable most of the time. Even to be successful, you have to go outside the lines, you know. And for many years, I lived a very predictable and I would say
safe, maybe.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. a good word. Thank you. Mm-hmm. A very, very yeah. safe space. And I would look out and I'd see other people doing stuff, and I would say, oh, God, I wish I could do that, or I wish I could say that, or I wish I could. And it was always, I wish. And then it's just like, you know what? This is, like, not working for me. You know? Mm-hmm. This is not working for me. And one by one, little by little, even with some relationships that I had that weren't working, I said, you know what, I gotta do the uncomfortable thing. I don't want to stay in it just because everybody else thinks I should. I gotta do something for me. I gotta make sure yeah. it's right for me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it bleeds into all these other things. And so it really, my confidence came out of discomfort. I feel like I'm a very ordinary person living an extraordinary life, but I think it can be said the other way around as well. You know, I'm an extraordinary person living ordinary because my now ordinary is about pushing the boundaries and doing what's good for me without hurting anybody, of course. And when you do that, so many other things actually come into view. Things that you've never seen before are now sitting right in front of you because you push beyond a boundary.
That's really, and that really speaks to that whole idea of being uncomfortable in order to be successful. I understand yeah. where you're coming from with that. If you happen to be listening to our show today and just want to get on the line and talk to Tamara, maybe ask her a couple questions or just make a comment about anything that we're talking about today, please give us a call at 646-716-9397. Press 1 to get into the show, 646-716-9397. So we talked a little bit about fear, and I'm wondering, you know, as we are trying to overcome the fear, as we're trying to overcome the anxiety of being great, of being successful, because like you said, when you move from point A to point B, sometimes it does feel like you're going outside the lines. It does feel a little bit uncomfortable. How do we manage? How do we manage that fear? I know you talked a little bit about breathing through it, but what are some ways that we can manage it, Tamara?
Yeah, well, you know, managing fear is really about asking yourself, and I do ask myself lots of questions, and one of them is, so what is it? You know, what is the it? What is the it that has got you hyperventilate? And it could be exposure. It could be not wanting to be judged. It could be a lot of different things. And at some point, like I'll relate this back to when I started my blog. So I was actually, I had a blog for about a year, and I hadn't told family, friends, anybody about it. And it was everything for me just to post it, let alone keep doing it. And I had a pretty decent following of a whole bunch of strangers who were actually liking what I was writing. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is bananas. And I had a coach, and she helped me work through it. And I was afraid of being judged. I was afraid of someone telling me that's stupid, that doesn't make any sense, and you need to go sit in court, right? And certainly some people could think that way, and that hasn't happened to me as of yet, but it can happen now, and my reaction would probably be very different from when I started, because when I started, nobody knew. And so when I started actually telling people about what I was doing, they were like, oh, my God. And, oh, my God, I like this and I like that. And I'm like, okay. So managing through it sometimes is just taking a deep breath, asking yourself, what is it really? And even saying out loud actually helps to diffuse it. A lot of things that we fear are the things that we make up about the thing that we fear. It's the boogeyman in the closet. It's the thing that I can just make up a whole story about something that's either going to happen or could happen, and because I don't want to see that or I don't want to deal with that, I'm going to not do that. A lot of them are unfounded. Another way that I manage through fear is to, connect with the people who are closest to me, and not the people who will just say yes because they think I want to hear yes, but other people that are like, listen, you know, stop it, you know. And
see, those heart friends, you know, the yeah. people that really know your heart and understand your heart and want you to be your best.
Yes, and those are the people who will hold your hand and step through it with you.
Yeah.
So it may not necessarily be a physical, I've got you, but it's like, listen, I'm going to be right here. Just go ahead and do it. You know, you're going to be fine. People who are there to just make sure that you're at your best, and everybody needs that. Everybody craves that, whether or not they ask for it or not is another thing, but everybody needs that. And so that has been an awesome way for me to manage through the things that you know, sometimes scare me to death or just, you know, there's just even a little hint of fear.
Mm-hmm. So we talked a little bit about where confidence comes from and where your confidence comes from and how to kind of develop confidence when we're dealing with fear. But how do we approach it in terms of developing confidence when there's not necessarily fear involved, but we just want to be our best. We want to present ourselves in the best light. How do we develop confidence in that situation?
Yeah, and so there are people out there who are, I won't say they're confidence experts, but one of the things that I actually share with people, because I do workshops on confidence, and there's this thing that can happen in your body, right? It's very, very, it's just connected to how your hormones are running for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so Amy Cuddy, have you ever heard of Amy Cuddy?
I have. She's the, wasn't she on Dancing with the Stars and she it was a snowboarder? Is that the one? Oh, no, I must be thinking of someone else.
No, that's okay. It's a woman who, she actually wrote a book called Presence.
Okay.
And what happens is that testosterone is a good way to build that thing in you that helps you to feel confident. And of course, men have a ton of it, right? They have it. They just have it running in their body all the time. And it doesn't mean that they're more confident. It just is. So when I'm working with women in particular, there is this pose. And so if we think about superheroes, every superhero has the same pose, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hands on hips, feet shoulder length apart, chest out, arms back, your shoulders back, chin up. That's a very confident pose. And when you do that pose and you do some breathing and you tell yourself positive things, you are immediately more confident than you were 5 minutes ago. And so it's called the power pose, basically.
Okay.
If you look her up, she did a TED Talk on confidence, and she did some things with students at Princeton University. It's unbelievable how that works, right? So being able to breathe in positivity, breathe out positivity, being in that stance, your heart is open, your chest is open, everything is open, that brings about confidence. The other thing that I do to help to even to stay on that even keel is affirmation.
Mm.
We live in a world where we always will pick out, and I don't know why we do this as humans, but if someone were to ask you something about you, more than likely we will talk about something that either we think is wrong with us or something that needs to be fixed. It's like,
that's so true.
You look right. You look great,
right,
in that gown. Yeah, but I think I'm fat, or my shoes, my feet are too big, or my hair won't do right, or we just draw attention to the things that we don't like. And so affirmation is the complete opposite of that. It's speaking to the things that are true and that are real and that are positive. And when spoken in an affirmative way, in an affirming way, you will become the things that you say to yourself. You will become it. So, things that I do with folks is to create your own affirmations. There's a gazillion books on affirmations that we can buy and believe, that someone else can believe it for us. But, I am strong. Now, you might not always feel strong, but when you want to be strong and you're not feeling, if you say, I am strong every day, you're going to be strong in your physical being, in your mental being. You are going to be strong. And so those I ams really do help to build that base so that you're always kind of, you're not on shaky ground. You're on, like a firm foundation.
Now, it sounds to me like a lot of what you're talking about has to do with empowerment. Would you agree? Self-empowerment?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, with the affirmations and with the, superhero stance and all that kind of stuff, what part does empowerment play in developing confidence?
Well, when you're empowered, when you're feeling like you have the wherewithal to bring things about, it almost, it's the sister, it's the cousin, to confidence.
Yeah.
It's so closely married that you can't, it's almost as if you can't have one without the other. And one may fuel the other. You know, when you're more confident, you feel like you're empowered to do other things.
I love that.
And it could be, that, you know, even the things that you're doing, it's like, you know what, I'm not naturally this person, but I'm feeling like, you know, it's like being in the zone for those of us who play sports and know what it feels like to be in this dance with people on your team, and you don't really have to talk. And all you have to do is look a certain way or nod a certain way or do a certain thing. But the other part about when playing sports and doing these things, it takes practice, right? And so if you think in terms of wanting to be confident, it takes practice to be confident. Right, so it's not a one and done. It's not like I'm going to say this I am statement and all of a sudden I'm just going to be confident and I can go move on to the next thing. It's sometimes it's your whole entire life's work. But when you look at it, you know, from the rearview mirror, and when I look at my life through the rearview mirror, it's almost my life is unrecognizable.
Why is that, Tamara? Why is it unrecognizable to you? Is it because you didn't envision yourself where you are right now, or what would be the reason for that, that it's unrecognizable?
Yeah, it is absolutely what you just said. I had no idea. I had no idea what the potential was. I'm still learning what the potential is, and I'm grateful, right? Grateful for the moment that I said, you know what, this right here is just not good enough. You know, this right here is not working for me. And for all the uncomfortable times, I've been uncomfortable enough. It's not that sometimes I crave the uncomfortableness because I know it's like, okay, something's about to change. And that there's a lot of challenge in that, but there's a lot of fun to see what actually comes about. and what actually comes about is so much better than I actually thought that it would be.
That's amazing. And it's also inspiring because to be able to be as successful as you were in your corporate life, to then be where you are right now in as a successful coach and look back, and not just a coach, but a speaker, a workshop facilitator. There's so many different things that you're doing to look back and say, wow, you know, the potential is just, it's almost as if it's only beginning. You've only touched the surface of what you feel that you can create for yourself and for your family and I'm sure for the people within your circle. So that's really inspiring, Tamara. And I'm wondering, you know, if you knew what you knew now kind of thing, do you think you would have done it sooner?
I, you know, that is always the age old question.
Right.
And I think that anybody logically would say, of course I would do it sooner, you know? But we don't know. We don't know if we would have done it sooner or not. There are a lot of different things that have happened in my life that I say, oh, man, if I had done that 5 years ago, or if I had known this person 20 years ago, or if I had done X, you know, that would have been somebody else's life, really. Right. And I've gotten to the point where I'm so grateful for right now. I'm so grateful for right now. Because the other part of it is that if someone had told me this, I don't know that I would have believed them. It's like, okay, whatever.
Exactly.
Right. I don't know that I would have believed them. And so, I can only hope and wish that I would have, but I don't know.
And sometimes you have to journey through some things in order to be able to come out on the other side and be able to really step fully into what you know, I believe God has for you, or the universe, or however you want to describe it, has for you. You have to journey through some things. You have to be able to make some mistakes, or do some things right, or, you know, appreciate a relationship in a different way, or, you know, you have to grow. You have to mature sometimes in order to be able to come out on that other side and really prosper.
I absolutely agree with that statement. I absolutely agree that we are, you know, a good friend of mine who is actually has been a Blog Talk radio host, Pasha Cook. Pasha and I met when I was a radio show host and I was mentoring new hosts. And it was right as I was about to transition into being a coach full time. And I met Pasha and, you know, helped her out with her show and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we get this connection, you know, that connection that we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, my God. And the connection initially was around basketball, and she was a basketball player. And my God, her story is so inspiring. And the more I was around her, the more I wanted to be around her. And for a while, we were inseparable, like every day on the phone, motivating. You know, we talked about that person who's in that heart space. She's definitely one of those people. And so there's one thing that she says these days is to seek your strength in your struggle.
Mm.
And that has to be the most powerful thing. And it won't be the most powerful thing she will ever say. But my God, she comes up with these things and I'm like, oh my God, so very true. That to find the strength in the things that you struggle with. Most people want to hide them. Most people want to cover them up. But, you know, your struggles are the things that help to define the next version of who you will be.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that goes along with it, right? It could be things that we have decided to do that probably may not have been the best decision, but it was a decision. Which often leads to another decision. you know, we all walk that tight line. And I was with a group of young people. Shout out to Urban Promise in Trenton. I was with a group of their street leaders this past Saturday, or last Saturday. And on top of the helping them understand that they can find strength in their struggles, the thing that I was able to add to it is that your struggles, everybody's struggles, are as individual and as unique as a signature, right?
Mm.
And so we all have them. And they are the ones that we have are ours. But that doesn't mean that they have to be the thing that keeps us stagnant and keeps us not growing and, you know, no matter what it is, some forward moving step that we can take because of it.
That's awesome. And then, you know, as you're talking, you know, I hear a lot of faith and a lot of trust in the process. You're not saying those words, but that's kind of what I'm sensing as you are explaining your where you are in life and how you've gotten to this point. And, you know, Tamara, it's so interesting to me that when you have that faith and when you have that trust in the process, and every now and then, of course, we question and we doubt, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing how you can get from point A to point B and just be so comfortable in the discomfort of trying to be excellent. And that sometimes can promote maybe not necessarily antagonism, but disagreement, you know, within within your circle, within, you know, within among colleagues. There might be opportunities for people to see what you're doing, and they might get jealous, or they might feel, okay, who does she think she is? She's quitting her job. She's becoming a life coach, you know, all these kind of things. And you're stepping out on faith, and really what you're doing is you're doing a lot of the things that people wish they could do, but they're not trusting the faith and trusting the process and having faith in the process. And that leads to that criticism and that that picking apart that sometimes can happen amongst, you know, amongst your peers, amongst people you know. Have you found that to be something that you've struggled with or something that you've dealt with? Yes, yes, no, maybe. What do you think?
Absolutely. You know, I would hope it was, it, as you're saying that, I'm like, oh my goodness. Yes, you know, and sometimes you wish that you didn't have those naysayers. And sometimes you wish that everybody can see the things that you think you see, right? So confidence is sometimes seeing that little peak of sunshine. You don't know, is that a flashlight? Did I blink? And you believe that you see it, right? You believe that you see it, but you're not really sure, but you're still going to go and continue to move forward. And so, yes, absolutely. When I made the decision, and it was an awesome ride that I had at PwC, and I'm forever grateful because there's so many things I learned that that I can take and make it mine. And what I learned is that I was very much a part of the process of learning. And so when I decided, you know what, my life is really going in a different direction. My life is absolutely pointed in this way. And if I don't, I just said to myself, you know what, you have done more than you could have ever imagined. Now it's time to see about this other thing that you've been talking about. I was certified for 6 years before. I was certified while I was still working full time, which was like drinking through a fire hose 9 times because it was crazy. You know what it's like to be certified, and 9 months of just craziness and you know, lots of practice and all these other things. But there were definitely people that said, "You're going to do what?" You know, just like that. You're going to do, you know, coaches don't make money, don't you know? You're never going to do that. You should be an executive coach because, you know, there's more money in that. Nobody's going to, what do you mean you're going to help women? Where are you to empower women? You think you can really make money doing that? And I'm like, oh, shoot, maybe they know something that I don't know. And it's like, nope, stop, right? So this is, again, me talking to myself, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to go over here and we're going to do. And as you continue to do, things start to flow.
Right.
And I've taken a bazillion steps forward, and sometimes it feels like a bazillion steps back, but that's experience, right? And that happens in every part of our lives. And so me striking out as an entrepreneur, it's no different. And here I am. 1 month and 3 weeks, 1 year and 3 weeks in. And when I tell you things are flowing, and the universe conspires to give you the desires of your heart. And you're absolutely right that when you put that thing out there and you work, right, you can't stand around thinking that it's just going to come to you because you want it. You got to go out there, be uncomfortable, network and talking to people and saying yes to opportunities, saying yes to things that may not necessarily seem like it's the right thing to say yes to. But I tell you, even last night, reading a couple of emails that I got, and I'm just like, Lord, you know better. You know what? And it works, and you continue to work, and you continue to push. And I'm grateful for all of it. Grateful for all of it. And it was absolutely the right thing for me to do. It was absolutely the right time for me to do. what it was that I decided to do. And certainly having family and friends, especially to support you, because I know that a lot of people don't always have that. But my husband's very supportive. My sister is right there. I have my friends that are just cheering me on and telling me, you know, I always knew that you could. And you're like, what?
You know, wow, that's awesome.
Why didn't you tell me? Yeah, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah, 10 years ago, right? Now, it brings me to the next question, which I have to ask because I'm just darn curious.
Yes.
How do we not cross over the fence from confidence to arrogance?
How do we not cross the fence? That's interesting. I think when your confidence what's the word? The first word that came to my head was humble.
Yeah.
And I know that I am a humble individual. I know that I'm human. I know that I can make mistakes. Confidence and arrogance, to me, it all depends on how you present yourself in your confidence. If your confidence hurts people, and if it's meant to hurt people, that's when it goes awry to me. Confidence without arrogance, I think if humility has a lot to do with it.
I love that. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good stuff, Tamara. Do you know that we only have 8 more minutes left in the show?
That's crazy.
Renee. See what happens when we start talking? I just looked at the clock. I just looked at my clock and I said, okay. We're almost done, honey. But I have before we leave, I just want to ask you, what's next for you in your career?
Yeah, you know, I'm building my practice and taking on clients, and that is happening in a way that's very organic, and sometimes even in a surprising way. There are so many facets to me as an individual, whereas, my heart's work is really, helping women to find their voice, right, and to be in that space of uncomfortableness, and know that they're uncomfortable, and to be bold enough to say what it is that they want for the next chapter in their life or the next chapter at home or at work or whatever it is, and then to boldly go after it, right, and to just say, okay, and bold looks different for everybody, right, and just helping people, women, to do that. But another thing that's happening, too, is because I know how relationships work and leading teams and being able to have a successful organization when teams are working in sync with each other, I see some opportunities in that as well, small organizations, small businesses, where I can do some consulting in that space. Absolutely, being out there on a stage talking and motivating women. One of the events that I'm an event sponsor for is the Head to Toe Expo in Robbinsville on May 7th. I'm doing a workshop called Confidence from the Inside Out. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. It's an all-day event. And there's so many other things that I don't know. I'm a mentor coach through the organization I got certified through, being able to, provide coaching for upcoming coaches is something where, I'm a mentor in a lot of spaces, and so that was pretty natural for me too. So lots and lots of opportunity to connect and grow the business.
That's great, Tamara. And how do we reach you?
Yeah, I have a website, and it's dare2doitnow.com. So You know,
love it.
We're talking about confidence, and so that's me, daretodoitnow.com. That's also the address for my Facebook, is Facebook.com/daretodoitnow. I have a phone number, of course, and people can reach me on my cell. It's 609-238-2874. Again, it's 609-238-2874. You know, I offer complimentary sessions around, you know, just helping people to get to their next space. And if anyone wants to talk to me, and please do reach out.
Tamara, it has been an absolute pleasure and privilege talking to you today. I'm so happy that you made some time to come and chat with me on Reveal Your Excellence this morning, my finale show. And like I said, we definitely went out with a bang with a dynamic guest like yourself. So thank you so much for just taking the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm always humbled to be asked to come forward and to know that our journey, you and I, is just beginning. You know, there's so many. The fact that we got connected through a radio host, and we can draw back our ties to the sorority and people that we know that are in common, and you don't live far from me. I mean, there's just way too many. I don't call them coincidences, right? I don't believe in coincidence. I believe that we were supposed to meet the way that we met. And certainly this is only the beginning. So I look forward to what's to come for you and all of the awesome things that you're doing as well. And to thank you for having me today.
My pleasure, Tamara. You have an incredible day. Enjoy this beautiful spring weather, okay?
Yep, I sure will.
All right. Good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
All right. Take good care. Bye-bye.
That was Tamara Cosley Robinson, everyone, and I'm so happy that Tamara had an opportunity to stop by the show today and just share with us her take on what it really means to develop some confidence in your life and to be able to show up in the world in the most spectacular, positive way ever. I'm so thrilled that I was able to, you know, glean a little bit of her knowledge and understanding about the topic. And I have just a little bit of time to bid my Life Coach Radio Network audience a fond farewell. As I mentioned, today is my final show with Life Coach Radio Networks, and I am going to be going on to some other things, doing some different things with my life and with my career. I am probably going to be posting some things on Facebook so that you can see what's coming up for me next. But most importantly, just know that the conversation that we had today was really impactful for me, because when I started this show several months ago, my intention was just to be able to reveal my excellence in a great way, help others reveal theirs, and really glean as much information as I possibly could about my message and what I want to present to the world. I feel like I've gotten even closer and closer to that message, and there's some really positive things on the horizon. The great news is Lord's Health System has decided that they want to sponsor several more months of shows in September, October, November, and December. So another season of Embrace Life with Renee will be starting in September. In addition to that, I've submitted several proposals for coaching and training to different organizations, and I am really excited to begin kicking off this wonderful opportunity to be a media coach, to really help people tap into their excellence and reveal themselves in a positive way on camera, on the radio, in the media, etc. In addition to that, I'll be doing some personal development coaching that involves using on-camera techniques as a way to help people see themselves the way the world sees them, and that's very exciting as well. So thank you so much for the time that you have devoted to listening to the show. I appreciate all of the positive feedback that I've gotten about the show, and I just thank you again and again, and hope that maybe at some point we'll reconnect. But if not, then I wish you the absolute very best in life. Enjoy this gorgeous day, and farewell.